I've titled my message, "I Hope So," which is a telling phrase, because we've often used that phrase in our lives. We've often, as kids, used that phrase, "I hope so that this or that might take place. I hope that I might be able to go on holidays. I hope that my dad might come home at this time and we can do this or that." And so we have become very familiar with that phrase, "I hope so." And in the telling of that phrase, we are communicating a lot. Because what we have done is that we have subtly changed the meaning of that word. So let's walk through this evening. Before I begin, let me open up in a word of prayer. Dear Father, thank you this evening that we have an opportunity to look into your word. And so we just trust that you might teach us and instruct us in this area of hope and what it means to you and how you sought to communicate that to us. And so pray that that might become clear this evening. We pray in your name. Amen. Most of us are familiar with the book by John Bunyan called Pilgrim's Progress. I'm sure that many of you have read it and have followed that allegory that he presents to us. And it's a story of Christian and his walk towards the celestial city and all the adventures he had along the way. And it's a fun book to read because it seems that he steps into different problems. And the problems that he presents, he's seeking to show us some of the situations that we, as on our walk towards the celestial city, some of those common things that we have together. And so Paul Bunyan presents an allegory of believers, of a believer's walk through life towards the celestial city, lived out in the character called Christian. As Christian is heading towards the wicket gate, he falls into this slough of despond, and he wallows around in the pit, and he is unable to get out due to the weight that's on his back. He begins to sink, and hopelessness sets in until help comes along and gives him a hand, and he can get back out onto solid ground. And so as he's heading towards that gate, he falls into the slough, and the slough is the slough of despond. And so maybe this morning you would have to describe your present state as a slough with little hope of being able to get yourself out. And so maybe you would describe your situation this morning that is like a slough. And it's almost like it's seeming to suck you down, suck you in, and seek to overflow in your life. Life situations are seemingly weighing you down, and there's little on the horizon that indicates anything better. The messages coming are seemingly anything but hopeful. November is a month of looking forward to the Christmas season and opportunities to get together as families, to celebrate Christ's birth together. But the news is casting doubt on this opportunity. We look at those around about us. We look at different provinces and what they are experiencing, and we are wondering, is it going to come home to roost in our province? And recently, with them, they tightened us down once again. Are we going to be able to get together as families at Christmas time? And I know our government is still hopeful of that. But the reality is that message seems to permeate into our very souls, and it creates hopelessness. Into this, we wonder what our job is going to look like in the days ahead. And on top of this is the wait to see if we develop any symptoms of this COVID virus, and worry for many of our bubble members getting it as well. There's always that fear. Am I going to slip somewhere and all of a sudden come down with some of these symptoms? And so many of us are walking in fear. And the correlation between fear and hopelessness has a direct correlation as well. Dare anything else come in on top of all this, and we would find ourselves in the same slough as Christian and sinking. So the picture is one of hopelessness and despair. For the opposite of hope is despair. And so this morning, how many of you are facing that in your own life, that situation of despair, and you have allowed yourself to go there in your thinking and your heart's meditation? But let us take some time to be reminded that the Word of God speaks much about hope. Hope is something as important to us as water is to a fish, as vital as electricity is to a light bulb, as essential as air is to a jumbo jet. Hope is basic to life. Without that needed spark of hope, we are doomed to a dark, grim existence, and we need to hold on to the hope that God assures us that it is there. And so we need to be reminded once again that God has and is holding out for us a hope this morning that we need to understand and we need to be reminded of and we need to be walked through once again. See, it has been said that man can live about 40 days without food, about 3 days without water, and about 8 minutes without air, but only 1 second without hope. And they even interested that they did studies on those who were in the concentration camps. What allowed them to succeed? What allowed them to survive to the end? And they found out that hope had a direct correlation in that success as well. And so we need to, this morning, look once again this area of hope. See, hope is defined in the Old Testament as to wait or to rest in expectation, to remain stationary until the arrival of some person or event. Hope means to be confident that God will surely cause all things to work together for good and his glory, according to Romans 8:28. That is the true definition of hope that we in our society have perverted and have changed into something the directly opposite. Hope is biblical shorthand for unconditional certainty. And we need to be reminded of that once again. That the biblical hope that God is speaking of is that unconditional certainty that we need to stand upon, we need to depend upon. So the promises of God that we read in the Word of God are true, and we can rest in those because of who has made those promises and the hope that he gives us. See, yes, we have changed the meaning in our day to mean something far different than what the Word of God states. We have settled for cross your fingers and hope it comes to pass. Our hope has become to be defined by uncertainty and low expectation. We have been let down by too many promises and by friends who have promised much and delivered little. So this morning, let's take a walk through the Word of God that we might understand and be reminded of the hope that God gives and has given to us as his children. We need to be reminded as well that in the Hebrew, the verb is translated as a command. And so what he's communicating there, as we look at the Old Testament and how they translated hope, we need to see that he is issuing it as, do it now. This is urgent. And so this morning, we need to be reminded once again that God has issued us a command. We need to rest in his hope. We need to do that urgently, and we need to do it now. Thus, the importance for us to take this walk through the Word of God. There was a time when we were without hope. So if you have your Bibles this morning, let's look into Ephesians 2, verses 11 and 12 briefly. Ephesians chapter 2. We'll begin our walk here this morning. Verse 11 of chapter 2 in Ephesians. Therefore, remember that formerly you, the Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by the so-called circumcision, which is performed in the flesh by human hands, remember that you were at that time separate from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But then let's look at verse 13. But now in Christ Jesus, you who formerly were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. So we lived in a state of hopelessness as enemies of God. And we were under his wrath, and we were children of wrath, as earlier in this chapter speaks of. We were under the judgment of God with no expectation of future good, but an eternity shut out from God and under his judgment. And so this is God speaking to us at that time when you were outside of faith, when you were outside of being a child of God. Your position was that you were an enemy of God, but not only were you an enemy of God, you were a person that did not have any hope. Nothing to look forward to into the future with no expectancy of anything better coming. There was no inner quiet amid our circumstances as well. So in the midst of the circumstances of life, there was no biblical hope in the midst of that as well. That is a statement of reality of our position that we once had. But Paul here in Ephesians wants us to come to verse 13 as well, because he uses that word but. And as we have come to learn, that word but is presenting a contrast for us. And so he's presenting the contrast. Here's what you were before. You were somebody that was without hope. But now let me present to you what you are because of Christ, because of coming to him in faith. And so we bring ourselves to 1 Peter 1, verse 3 in our next step that we take. 1 Peter 1, verse 3 says,
Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Because of Christ going to the cross for us to take care of the debt of sin, he made it possible for us to have hope, but not just hope, but a living hope. He's not just presenting us a concept of a hope here, but he wants us to understand that the hope that he gives is a living hope. When we come to God in faith and repentance, we are born again. We come into this world the first time through birth, but we are born at that time with no hope, born into sin and enemies of God. We gained a family and a name at that time, which identifies us. But because of God's mercy, he provides an opportunity to be born again. The reality is that if you're outside of the family of God, if you haven't come in faith and repentance, then you are somebody today at this present time without hope. But let me present for you this morning that God is presenting an opportunity for you to step into the family of God and to find his hope, which he describes as living hope. The word means to be begat again, to father anew, to be physically born again, to bring to birth again, this idea of being born again that he is describing. The word is only used twice in Scripture, and both instances are found in this first chapter of 1 Peter. It is the picture of something that is totally new that you are placed into. This is seen as a past completed action. This new existence is described as a living hope because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Because Christ is alive, we, by being in Christ, are alive as well. And so he describes it here, that aspect of being born again, as I described for you already. It's like he places us into a new family. It's like we belong to a new family, and he describes it as being born again. And so most of us have experienced the process of bringing a child into this world, and we've seen what it means for a child to be born into this world. And so we can kind of grasp in some small way the same picture of being born into God's family. This new existence is described as a living hope because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Because Christ is alive, we, by being in Christ, are alive as well. In this present turbulent world, Christians are truly justified in viewing the future with optimism. Our new God-given life has delivered us from hopelessness and given us a joyous expectancy of what God still has in store for his people. And so as we spend time looking at the Word of God, we see the promises that God has for us. And we see that when he left this world, he said, I'm going to come again. In the meantime, he's gone to prepare a place for us. And so we're in that period right at the moment, eagerly expecting his imminent return for us. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 19 states, if we have hoped in Christ in this life only, we are of all men most to be pitied. This life that God has called us to does not make any sense without eternity attached to it. It is only the hope and promise of a resurrection out of this life and of an eternity to follow that enables us to continue to live in this fallen world. See, a relationship with Jesus Christ not only gives us hope presently, we can walk in that hope with that eager expectation that no matter the difficulties that we are walking within, that God's hope is resting upon us, and we can rest in that. A living hope is never extinguished by untoward circumstances. Yes, it may feel like it is, but God's word remains true regardless of how we feel. And so Job in chapter 13, verse 15 says, though he slay me, I will hope in him. And so as Job was experiencing great circumstantial situations that God had allowed to come into his life, and Job's position was, though God were to seemingly to slay me, I am going to yet rest in him, hope in God in the midst of that. And we can do that in the midst of our circumstances, knowing that he is working all things out to good in his glory. Our hope is not in a principle, but in a person. If you were to look into 1 Timothy 1, verse 1, you would see that Jesus Christ is our hope, and that person is living because he has been resurrected from the dead. Christ in eternity past put together a plan in place that he might rescue us from our sin. He knew in this, even in the creation of this world, that sin was going to shortly enter. And he already had a plan in motion. And so it's, the Galatians talks about in the fullness of time, he sent his son. And so God initiated a plan, put it in motion, sent his son to this earth that he might purchase us out of hopelessness to be place us into a living hope. And so having in itself the very life of the living God, 1 Thessalonians 1 verse 9, a living and a true God. We can rest in the fact of our living hope for the same reason we rest in the truth of Christ's resurrection. An inheritance is waiting for us, protected by the power of God, if you were to continue on in that 1 Peter passage there. And so he's given us a living hope, but he's also provided us, and he has initiated an inheritance for us that is waiting for us. This hope is not only living because of the work of Christ on our behalf. This hope is part of the character of God and is enabled by the power of the Holy Spirit. Romans 15, verse 13 says, which is the next step in our walk this morning. So if you have your Bibles, turn to Romans chapter 15, verse 13. It says, now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you will abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Our God is the origin of hope, the object of our hope, and the giver of hope. It says, now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. But it's not just any hope. It's a specific hope that he intends to give us. Because the original says, now may the God of the hope, is the way it is originally written in the Greek language there. And so it is a specific hope. It is the hope that he has. It is intrinsic into his character because he is the God of the hope. And he is the object of it. Paul's prayer is that they may be filled up to the brim with all joy and peace in believing, so that, or in order to abound in hope. The purpose of them being filled to the brim, not just a little bit, because when God gives gifts, he gives completely. He gives to overfilling. He gives to abounding is the way that our God gives. And so the purpose of the joy and peace is so that we might abound in hope. See, joy looks upward, peace looks inward, and hope looks forward. He is praying that they may be filled with all without exception, not a percentage, portion, or fraction, but for all the joy and peace that God has promised. But the requirement is in believing. God will do this if we are those who are believing or those who have been born again. It is in believing that we are filled with joy and peace, and it is by the Spirit that we abound in hope. Believing means to have a firm conviction as to the goodness, efficacy, or ability of something or someone. It's looking at Christ and seeing that Christ is enough. Coming in our lives where we see that my situation is hopeless, but his is hope, and he is hope. And so we come to that place where we say, yes, God, I believe you, and I want to accept what you are offering this morning. If we do that, then we can rest in the truth that what he has promised, he will give, and he will give not only a living hope, but an abounding hope. This prayer of Paul is not just that they may experience hope, but they might experience it abundantly. It means or over and above, or that they may superabound in this hope. And it's almost like when we are looking, I'm not sure if you ever, your brother or somebody's asked you for a cup of water. Often the joke is that we fill that cup so full that it's like rounded on the top just to see if they're going to spill it. It's almost, it's kind of the same picture with God. When he gives us hope, he not only just gives us a little bit and says, well, that's enough to get you through today. God's not a stingy giver. God is a giver who seeks to fill, who seeks to abound in his giving. And he does that with this area of hope as well. When God gives, he does not trickle out his blessing. There are only two limits to God's gifts to mankind. The one limit is the limitless limit of God's infinitude. And the other is the working limit, our capacity as well. And so we know that God's side of the equation, his hope and his gifting that he wants and desires to give us is without measure. We can't measure it. We can't see that this is how much he has because it's limitless. But our side of the equation is that we are limited by our capacity. And so as God gives, he gives over and above even our capacity. And the enabling power is the unlimited power of the Holy Spirit. The believer has the blessing of the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit so that when our hope is under attack, we can rest in the unlimited power of the Spirit. Our assurance of future blessing and present blessing is wrapped up in the Holy Spirit. And the original says, my translation uses, by the power of the Holy Spirit. The original speaks, in the power of the Holy Spirit, is what is should be accurately communicated in this passage. Because we, when we become a child of God, when we are born again, when we come in faith and repentance to him, then we are placed in the Holy Spirit as well. He resides in us. We reside in him. And so as we walk through life, through life's circumstances, life situations, we can rest in the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. But his ministry is not just that you might get by, but that you would abound. But God has also given us his word, the scriptures, for us to be encouraged in hope as well. So let's take a step and backtrack to Romans 15, verse 4. For whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction, so that through perseverance and the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. By reading and spending time in the Word, we learn the promises of God, but also what is awaiting us when our redemption is complete. Usually amid busyness and trials, we forget to spend time in the Word. Life has a habit and tendency to draw us in and take up our focus. Our circumstances suck up our focus, and we need to turn back to the Word and be encouraged in our hope and what is awaiting the child of God, not only one day, but also for the here and now. One of the books I'm reading right at the moment is talking about a midlife crisis and how many individuals go through a period of time when all of a sudden they meet that midlife and they go through a crisis when all of a sudden their plans and their dreams have to be refocused. And often they're finding that we come to those period of time in our midlife crisis is often because the Word of God has become minimized as all of a sudden we've been pursuing our dreams. That has taken up our focus. And the Word of God has grown less in our lives. And so God has to bring us to a period in our lives where all of a sudden he has to refocus us. Let's remember the Word of God. And the purpose of the Word of God is not only that we might gain head knowledge, but that we might be able to grow in our relationship with him as he has laid himself out for us. But another purpose is that as we look at the Word of God, we gain hope and we see the hope that God wants to give us as we walk through the present circumstances that God has in and for us at the moment. Titus 2 and verse 13 speaks, looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Christ Jesus. And so Christ himself is described as our blessed hope. Do we see that this morning, that he is our blessed hope that we are eagerly awaiting and looking forward to? One day he's promised to return and he will do that. But presently he's also my blessed hope as well. See, when all seems to be hopeless around us and every news item seems to only bring anger, apathy, or angst, let's lift up our eyes and understand where we have come from and to what we have been born into. Our focus needs to be taken off of our circumstances and fixed upon our blessed hope and the certainty of the promises of God. This world is a terrible, broken place. Nothing in us or around us operates consistently the way it was meant to. Things regularly take place that were never meant to happen in God's original creation plan. Sin still twists our desires and distorts our thoughts. And so as we walk through life circumstances and the seeming circumstances that are presented for us constantly at the present time with this seeming pandemic that we are walking through, let's remember the hope that God desires to give as we eagerly look forward to that no matter what these circumstances have, we as his children are eagerly looking forward to to a day coming when we will be complete together in him. But we can also presently walk in hope, abounding hope, because of the indwelling dunamis power of the Holy Spirit who resides with us. No matter what situation we are in, we have the present reality of the Holy Spirit's presence with us. Just because you are a better trained and better equipped soldier does not mean that the great war with sin is over. Accept the fact that you are a sinner living in a fallen world. Keep reminding yourself that Christ really does live inside of you, and keep your eyes on eternity. Start celebrating early. Let the anticipation grip you like a child 3 minutes from Disney World. Keep reminding and playing the video of eternity in your head. The day really is coming when we will not only be rescued from this terribly broken world, but we will finally and forever be rescued from ourselves. We will escape the sin inside of us. We will be perfect, holy, and without any sin whatsoever. So whether you are aware of it or not, every moment of regret is a longing for eternity. Every instance of remorse is a cry for a better place. And so as the disciples met with Jesus when he was returning, I'm sure there's great fear in their hearts. Maybe there was even hopelessness, what the days ahead were going to look like. But Christ had reassured them that he had to go in order for the Holy Spirit to come. And so we, the bride of Christ, have been given a living hope. We have been given abounding hope that we can walk in. And so the question this morning is, are you walking in that abounding hope? And if not, why not? Because that is something that has been given to us that we can walk in today, and God is desirous for us to walk in today. But let's return to the Word of God and see once again the hope that he has for us. So trust this morning that you have been reminded and encouraged as you have walked through what God has for us, the hope that he has for us. Let me just close this morning in a word of prayer. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for your word. And thank you that you've given to us that we can be reminded once again of the hope that you have for us, that you desire to give to us. And not just a little bit of hope, but an abounding living hope. And thank you, Heavenly Father, for doing that for us. That you had already in eternity past a plan in motion that you might be able to restore that for us. And that we as your children can today walk in that hope and eagerly look forward to your return and being with you forever. So thank you, Heavenly Father, for your gift that you've given to us. For we pray in your name. Amen. Trust you'll have a great morning, and that God will continue to remind you of the hope that he desires to give.